really bothered them that you had two candidates in a row that were farther to support the center or farther to the left than the center, or therefore they were saved by that. Are you still in the party? What does the party really stand for? Because it's changed a lot in the last 10 years. You know, it's become the party of true far leftism. So if you're not a true far leftist, but you're not a traditional conservative, where do you turn? Are you going to really become a libertarian? Libertarianism is sometimes said to be in the middle, but it's really farther to the right in the sense that it wants smaller government. And it wants, you know, less rules. So, bearing in mind that, you know, you can't have everything you want in a political party or a politician, but you can at least have your basic beliefs represented. I would think that, you know. So, anyway, I've got a little bit of weather reporting here for you. It's been an extraordinary year back east. It hasn't been as bad out here. We have had our snow, and we've had a little bit of rain recently. And I assume that the ice packs are not as high as they'd like them. But selection process. Let me play you a little clip here from the Weather Channel. And got that going for you right here. Winter Storm Thor. The next has just been one after another. It's been like a freight train. Check this out.
We're going to continue to see this winter weather, Al. I'm really concerned about the Metroplex corridor, Washington up through Philly and New York. Take a look at what we have forecast here throughout the day today. Right in this region right here, as much as 5 to 8 inches of snow across the area. Here is the forecast. The blue area is how that snow sets up across that region. And take a look at how many hours now. So this is Thursday at 8 a.m. Watch that just stay locked in there as moisture continues to get fed in this direction right up along this area behind that cold frontal boundary. Stays locked in through that area right in through about 6, 7 o'clock tonight before it finally moves off the coast here. So
my friends in New York tell me it's like nothing they've ever seen. It's just been incredible. It's been like having a 12-round, 15-round fight with a heavyweight. It's just been round after round of this really nasty, an enormous amount of snow. And it's just been incredible. So anyway, let us get some of the stories of the day. There is a deep-rooted desire to dump Hillary in the party. And the reason is in part because of her connection to Bill. And he's recently, I mean, the reason that a lot of people would like Hillary is the connection to Bill. But then you turn around and see that Bill is hanging out with a convicted pedophile. Now the guy, Jeff, whatever his name was, this Epstein, will say he's not a pedophile. He was consorting with 12 and 13-year-old or 15-year-old girls, whatever it was, but he's a registered sex offender. This guy had 19 different phone numbers for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton frequently, from what I understand, flew on this guy's private jet. And the fact that the guy is just a total pervert, and a lot of people, at least on the right, would describe the president as a total pervert, has got a lot of people very nervous about what might come up in that investigation.
Come in to block and pay us
and
half
all of the outrage.
Come in here and get your money. Get your billions back.
And the reaction to that from his supporters is not really going to make the questions go away. Now you've got a problem with Hillary Clinton, and some people are saying that you can't create your own email system. You're working for the government. You don't have a right to do that. Somebody else is going to come along and say, well, that's not even the real issue here. The real issue is Benghazi. And for whatever reason, the Republicans never went after the Benghazi report. Now, maybe it's because they're holding back on something. I guess the best case scenario for them is that they're holding back on information that could be damaging to Hillary or other people. But a lot of people were disappointed that there was no final finding of fact on who called out for the stand down order, which ended the life of Christopher Matthews. Now, let me just read you a few more headlines here. Report: Harry Reid provided billions in federal subsidies to benefit donors and aides. American ambassador was intact in South Korea. He was slashed on the face and on the wrist. There's a picture of him covered in blood, and the person who attacked him was screaming that they wanted a reunification of the North and South. It looks like it would be possible that Rahm Emanuel, the former right-hand man of the president, could lose his reelection efforts in Chicago. The Senate did not override Obama's Keystone veto, Keystone pipeline. FCC commissioner says internet rules based on ideological agenda. All right. I want to confront you. I want to present something to you here. What we're dealing with now is a time of unprecedented ideology. And I could give you so many different examples, but right there, the FCC, the net neutrality rules, it's just ideology. We're no longer looking at whether things work. Let me give you an example. The political correctness movement, do you think it has worked? Has it made a better country? I would argue it's made a much worse country. And people no longer worry about saying the right thing or doing the right thing. They're worried about their own survival. They don't want to be politically incorrect. There are many people in Hollywood and other places in the country that are opposed to things like gay marriage and a lot of the other radicalism, and they can't really – they have to get up and pretend they support it, because if they don't, they'll be driven out of public service, or they'll be, you know, politicians and entertainers and stuff. It's been a total disaster. The sociology, or the socialism that we're bringing in increasingly in the government, into the economy, total disaster. We have not grown as an economy for the last 7 or 8 years, and people are suffering out there, and it's coming out of ideology. It's coming out of leftism. It's coming out of Marxism. I hate to say it. I don't want to sound like a one-trick pony here, but it's I trace it all back to that. Anyway, here's a little break for you. Jimmy Rogers, the singing brakeman. Jimmy Rogers is not the guy that sang Honeycomb. Jimmy Rogers is way back, going way back. This is back in the early 1920s. And Jimmy Rogers was... Jimmy Rogers was considered to be the father of country music. So here he is. Check it out. Waiting for a train.
Good morning, Jimmy. Hello, Jimmy Rogers.
Good morning.
And this is from an early movie, by the way.
Have you been home?
Yes, from the looks of this board here, I'm going west 10:15.
Good morning, lady.
Good morning.
Hello, Jimmy.
Hi, buddy.
I suppose you want your coffee, then.
I sure will.
I'll be getting it ready for you.
That's a girl.
Oh, Jimmy.
Man.
Will you play and sing us a song while I fix your coffee?
Oh, a song? Sure. I'll give her that old guitar out of there.
I'll bring it to you.
Not a girl.
Play my favorite song, Jimmy.
All right. What do you want to hear? That old song, Waiting for a Train?
Uh-huh. That's it.
All right.
About walked up to a brakeman to give him a line of talk. He says, if you've got money, I'll see that you don't walk.
Solid News reporting is.
Good morning, it's Kelly.
Good afternoon, people. We're held hostage in their.
Hope you're doing well out there. And it is, by the way, your KOBE, let me get your temperature here. Ooh. Last night it was 26. Oh, it's, you know, for some reason my phone is defaulting to Randlett, Utah, which I looked up and discovered has about 250 people, 220 people. It's in the extreme northeast corner of Utah. So anyway, got some stuff for local news and state news. New Mexico among the top 10 for green jobs. Who cares? Green jobs stink. That's what a lot of you will say anyway. All right. New Mexico increasing trust land grazing fee by 20%, and it's going up by 20% according to the Roswell Daily Record. Land Commissioner Aubrey Dunn set the per animal per month fee at $4.80 starting October 1st, up from $3.99. And Dunn said that the record high cattle prices caused him to reconsider that. And he used a formula determined by New Mexico State University. Thank you very much. And MSU. He will raise total income to land trust to just over 8 million. And there are 8.7 million acres that are covered by that. So that's kind of interesting. Chili acres fell by 10% last year. Federal officials are claiming that chili acreage in New Mexico dropped 10%, and U.S. Department of Agriculture said Wednesday final production numbers came in at 58,700 tons in 2014 compared to 65,000 the previous year. And so in the value of that was $38 million last year compared to 2014's almost $50 million. And the farmers are complaining about the drought, labor shortage, and other market changes. So, you know, it's funny that, I mean, the amount of money that we bring in, I think that the image of the chili is bigger than the amount of money it brings in. I think the chili is a very important symbol to us Cruisins and New Mexicans in general. They seized $1 million in pot in New Mexico. Lordsburg Border Patrol agent said they had grabbed $1 million worth of pot after spotting a Ford F-350 driving from the Boot Hill, south of Lordsburg. So 27-year-old Luis Carlos Luna Marquez and 41-year-old Luis Arturo Enriquez Espinoza were arrested trying to get away with this truck full of 1,607 pounds of marijuana. And the truck was stolen from Tucson, Arizona. It was valued, the haul was worth $1.2 million. It's not known if they have attorneys. I'm sure they will get an attorney. All right. And the state's economy ranking, we're creeping up there. We've passed Mississippi and Maine to number 48 out of 50. It's better than nothing. That's based on six factors. Which average weekly wage, recent change in housing prices, non-farm payroll, job growth, unemployment rate, state's GDP per capita, and surplus and deficit in the state government. All of our neighbors are doing better. Texas, Colorado, we're at the top of the pack, coming in at number 1 and 3. Utah tied with Ohio for 13. Wow, I didn't know that. Oklahoma tied with Nevada for 19. Arizona fell, but it's still at 21. That hurts. Why can't we do better? Top 10 state economies, number 1, North Dakota. You're going to say, what in the bleep? North Dakota, yeah, it's true. It's because of the Bakken oil field there. Number 2 is Texas. Number 3 is Colorado. Number 4, California. Number 5, Oregon. Number 6, Washington. Number 7, Florida. Number 8, Minnesota. Number 9, Hawaii. Number 10, Massachusetts. bottom 10. Number 1, Mississippi. Number 2, Maine. Number 3, New Mexico. Number 4, Kentucky. Number 5, Alabama. Number 6, West Virginia. Number 7, Vermont. Number 8, South Carolina. Number 9, Arkansas. Number 10, Rhode Island. All right, so, well, we're getting better. That's what we got to tell ourselves. Don't get depressed. We're getting better. And, all right, so thousands of tumbleweeds take over a Minnesota town or a New Mexico town. Check it out.
Hostage in their homes. They couldn't leave because tumbleweeds had blown in and completely surrounded their homes. They needed the fire department to come set them free. News 13's Jessica Gatita is live in the newsplex to show you the mess.
We are talking thousands of tumbleweeds piled up higher than their homes. Take a look at El Cerro Mission in Valencia County, east of Los Lunas. Tumbleweeds took over after blowing in on Sunday. People who live there tell us they were trapped. They couldn't leave because the roads were covered in them. It was so bad a school bus couldn't get through. Horses and other animals also had problems moving around in the field. The fire department was called in to help clear the area and burn all the weeds. People who live there say they're banned from burning them unless firefighters are there because it's so dry.
Can't let us burn unless they're around. No one wants to come around to let us burn. I got into it with them today.
So
at least come assist us to burn these weeds, you know?
People who live there say it's a vicious cycle. They move all the weeds, but they just blow back in. Kim?
Okay, thanks, Jessica. Now, News 13 spoke to the Valencia County Fire Department about the concerns and complaints. The department tells us they do what they can. They are working on a plan to help the residents out.
What they ought to do is rename themselves Weed Town and watch all the business, watch all the tourism come in. Jimmy Rogers waiting for a train. This is from a little movie. Jimmy Rogers, the singing brake man, I think he lived in Arizona for a while, and he was from somewhere in the Delta, and then he got tuberculosis, and as he was becoming, he was the first country superstar, but they call him the father of country music. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He's a very important musician and a very talented guy, and he wrote this song called Tea for Texas that Lynyrd Skynyrd became popular with. Anyway, a little more Jimmy Rogers. Kelly Connor, 632-523-1450. And we'll be right back.
I haven't got a nickel, not a penny can I show. Get off you railroad bum and he slammed the boxcar door.
Got a new hat, huh? Not too much. I thought you guys were DOA. Hey, it's Kelly here, and just got a call on my cell phone, but 523-1450 to call in, and somebody was calling in. I couldn't finish the conversation because we came back on air, 523-1450, but it was a music-related call. But listen, one of the wonderful things about being an American, I think the gentleman's called back. Thank you for calling.
I'm calling back. You were talking about Jimmy Rogers.
Yeah.
He's not from the Delta. He's from Meridian, Mississippi.
Right.
Which is my hometown.
Yeah, that's right. And that's Meridian. It's got a couple of musicians from there.
Yeah. They do the Jimmy Rogers Festival out of there every year. So,
have you
very
been
famous
there?
In the area.
Have you been there? Did you hear me? Hello?
Sorry, I'm not getting a good connection. I'll call you back later.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Meridian, Mississippi, that's right. And this guy, what was his name? There's another guy. There's a couple of famous musicians from Meridian, and the other one is the guy that did Romeo's tune. Wake me up in the middle of the day. Let me hear you say everything's okay. Steve Forbert is from Meridian, too. So it's funny. Some of these small towns are kind of fountains of talent for one reason or another. All right, so anyway, I've gone through a little bit of local news for you, but we've got Jeff Isbell here, and he's back on the show. He's got a haircut. He's got a new hat. Does that mean you have a new attitude, Jeff?
I have a new attitude, man.
All right, that's good, just like the song says. So what's going on? Jeff Isbell is the head of the recall effort. And so anyway, I heard that the recall was dead on arrival, DOA, and then I was informed that it wasn't. And as some people said, it was a Peter Goodman. It was a ploy by Peter Goodman to dispirit the troops. And I don't know that. I just know that I got some disinformation. Or was it disinformation? Are you guys, is the recall dead or alive?
At this point, the recall is alive, and we believe well. We submitted thousands of petition signatures in early February. We submitted those to the city clerk's office. Every trick that the left, the radical progressives have tried to throw our way, we've met, overcome up until this point. And we're waiting any moment now for the city clerk to say, yes, you have enough signatures. And she'll give it to the city council to set a special election date. Or she'll say, you need to go out and collect more signatures, as the charter says you can do. And that's exactly what we're prepared to do.
You can get more signatures?
So we have. So she says, Esther, the city clerk, who's been very professional through this entire process, if she says you don't have enough signatures, we'll have 15 days to go out and collect more signatures. So we're certainly hopeful about our odds, but we're going to do everything we can. Kelly, we talked to thousands of people as we were going door to door, probably 10,000 people, actually, over the last couple of months. And there is this underlying desire for change. People feel as if they're taxed enough. Some of the things the city council is doing is just over the top, whether they're taxing your pets now, if you have pets, spending $450,000 on toilets at Young Park, throwing people in jail for having their fourth yard sale, whatever it may be, people are tired of the status quo and ready for change.
I heard that the city council was just representing the will of the people if the people were only educated and enlightened. Is that not correct?
You know, Olga Pedroza was elected with 356 votes. That's about 3.5% of her total voting population. Sadly, I don't even think she represents that percentage of the people. All these people care about is the radical special interest groups, of which pay Nathan Small.
Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small.
That's right. So he gets paid by the Wilderness Alliance, while he's getting paid by the taxpayers. And
but if what he stands for is truth and justice, doesn't that mean he can work for any special interest group he wants?
Well, I'm not sure whose truth and justice he stands for, Kelly.
If I had to guess, and I do recall doing some research on this, and I kind of went to his university website and I looked up what he did his thesis on, and if I'm not mistaken, I wish I had printed it up. I didn't know what the future held for me. But I believe it was related to Marx, Marxism, socialism, something like that. Nathan, I know you listen every day while you're in your bubble bath. Could you call in and straighten me out if I'm mistaken on that? It could have been an expose on Adam Smith's life, you know, but somehow I truly doubt it.
Well, Nathan Small is certainly an interesting character. I hear from, he's probably one of the most polarizing people that we're going after in this recall election. I hear from people all the time.
Is he bipolar?
You have to recall Nathan Small. He's got
to
go.
If he's polarizing,
he's out of touch.
If he's polarizing, is he bipolar?
Well.
Well, anyway, all right. So, Jeff, I would like you to tell the people why are you involved in this? What does it represent? Who are you in terms of your beliefs? What do you stand for? I mean, you're trying to pull these guys out of office, and you hear people like Peter Goodman saying it's anti-democratic and you need to leave these people be. It's the people's choice, et cetera. What do you stand for? What does your group stand for?
Well, you know, first of all, let me address that. That's interesting that radical progressives would call something undemocratic, unconstitutional, and suddenly be worried about spending the taxpayers' dollars, which we're seeing in their talking points nearly daily now. So that's an interesting concept to me. They're worried about spending money to make sure the people have right representatives when they're spending $450,000 on bathrooms over at Young Park. But that's another story for another day, I guess. We have decided, after talking to citizens, that we're tired of high taxes. We're tired of this straitjacket they've put on small business owners and community organizations who only seek to grow Las Cruces through these high taxes, through these regulations, through these impact fees, through an increase in the minimum wage. You name it, this radical progressive bunch has done everything they can to hinder growth and not progress. It's actually regressive, and quite frankly, we're tired of it. There's a few radical special interest groups in town that run the show. One of their leaders said they could get anybody elected to any position in Doniana County. We proved in November that wasn't true by running great campaigns against their candidates. For county commission, we saw Ben Rawson elected. At the state house, we saw Rick Little. We saw Terry McMillan elected. We saw their tax increase defeated. So we want to take what we built in November.
Are they on the run, Jeff? Are the radical progressives, or are they on their heels?
Well, I think they have every reason to be. They should be. For the first time in probably their existence here in Las Cruces, somebody is questioning them, and somebody is watching every action they do. And right now they've went to pretty much radio silence.
It's uncanny. It's eerie. It's like a sub at the bottom of the ocean. No communication.
Oh, that's right. So occasionally we'll hear from Peter Goodman or Walt Rubel in the Sun News. But beyond that, we're not hearing much at all. And we believe that they're probably waiting to hear the results from the city clerk's office. But we have heard that they've got tricks up their sleeve, and they'll do whatever they can to try to derail this process by any means necessary, which is unfortunate because thousands of people have signed the petition. More people signed the petition than voted for Olga Pedroza, than voted for Nathan Small, than voted for Gil Sword. So you tell me, what really is the will of the people?
The Communist Manifesto, according to the radical progressives.
That's the will of their people.
Yes. All right, Kelly here, and I'm with Jeff Isbell. I'm going to play you a little more Jimmy Rogers. Listen, I come back. I've got a special comedy segment from Bill McCamley. It's delightful. I can't wait. You can't. No, please don't. Please don't do something crazy like leave. I know you're working today. Take a few minutes off before you go in. Your boss will understand. Here's some more Jimmy Rogers, 523-1450 at 645 Kelly O'Connell Show, KOBE 523-1450. It is, did I ever tell you how warm it was outside? I don't think that I did. Here's the weather, at least the temperature for you. And it is about 30 degrees outside, so there's a little bit of ice on the windshield this morning. Jimmy Rogers waiting for a train, and we'll be right back. I got Jeff Isbell with me.
He put me off in Texas. Did I feel in love? The wide open spaces all around me.
the moon and stars up above.
My grandpa had the biggest crush on Loretta Lynn.
It's Kelly here, and you heard, I'm sure, yesterday that that Bill McCamley had made a very special announcement that he was not in favor of killing horses, but there were wild chihuahuas near his trailer in Mesilla, and that they could be sent to North Korea, menacing chihuahuas. Anyway, I cooked up a little something for you here. Check it out. We don't have any feral horses where I live, but we do have packs of wild chihuahuas running around, and the Las Cruces animal shelter is overcrowded. Why don't we just export the dogs to Korea to be slaughtered for food? Folks, that's Claude Debussy and a pack of real chihuahuas barking, and that's dedicated to Bill McCamley. Anyway, Jeff is covering his face right now. Did you hear him say that? Did you hear about that?
I did not.
He said it on the floor of the legislature. So, do we have a new industry here? Exportation of feral chihuahuas, carcasses?
Some of the things I've heard Bill McCamley say on the legislative floor, this wouldn't surprise me at all if he said something along these lines.
I think we need to send out, we need to call the county sheriffs to go out and do a welfare check on him. Although he may be up in Santa Fe right now, freebasing, peyote? It may be part of his religion.
Hey, we actually knocked on Bill McCamley's door when we were collecting signatures, you know, when he chased that teenage girl down the street. But there had to have been at least 300 chihuahuas. I mean, at least 300.
Where?
At his house.
No,
I'm just kidding.
Oh, okay. I was about to lapse into unconsciousness. He is the breeder of the feral chihuahuas. So, anyway, did anything ever happen out of that, him yelling, running down the street and screaming at the girl, the teenager?
Well, we know everybody in Santa Fe. I was there a couple of weeks ago, and lots of people, lots of our legislators were talking about it. And you know, it's interesting, Kelly. Everybody down here sees Bill McCamley as a as this soft-spoken, care about the people, servant, public servant. If you
really?
Know. But up there in Santa Fe, Republicans and Democrats alike, there is a strong dislike for Bill McCamley. He takes up hours on the floor, rambling on.
Does he pull out his fiddle, or does he recite homespun poetry?
He's vulgar. He'll walk into committee hearings and drop the F word and that sort of thing. And that's just from a couple of the staffers we talked to. When we were telling them, yeah, people think, you know, Bill McCamley would never yell at somebody, would never chase a teenage girl down the street yelling at her. They said, you got Bill McCamley right. The same Bill McCamley we know is the Bill McCamley you're talking about. So the Bill McCamley of Las Cruces and the Bill McCamley in Santa Fe, not the same person.
523-1450 if you have your own Bill McCamley story to share. But I believe, Jeff, the pressure from some of these wild packs of chihuahuas around his trailer may
the pressure's crazy.
Yeah, they may be tipping him over into a kind of a psychiatric no man's land. I just see him as a bald-headed gay evangelist myself. But anyway, all right, so what happens now? Let's walk people through this. There is the recall goes in. It's counted, thumbs up, thumbs down, and then what happens? Let's say thumbs up on the signatures, then what happens?
Okay, so if it's thumbs up, the city clerk will certify her results, present them to the city council, where they will then set a special election date within 60 days. So we're looking at May or June. And we're going to go out and run a grassroots campaign, and everybody's going to know that a recall campaign is going on, and we're going to encourage people to vote yes. And when we, when the dust from Election Day is cleared and we've recalled these individuals, then we'll be able to replace them with individuals who really care about all our constituents and not just a few special interest groups.
Can we have a symbolic burial of the three people?
Kelly, I guess you can do whatever you want to do here on your show.
I'm going to prepare myself emotionally for that and get the proper media, get the proper music. And it took some research to find tons of crazy barking chihuahuas on YouTube.
No, it didn't.
Well, it took a few minutes. All right.
There's crazy stuff on YouTube.
Claude Debussy, which is just one. Folks, if you can't sleep at night, put some of this on. We got a phone call, by the way. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
My name is Scott.
Scott, thank you for calling in today. I hope you're doing well, and what's on your mind?
I just wondering if anybody ever looked into the fact that 20, 25 years ago, Olga Pedrosa had a picture of Fidel Castro on her desk.
Weird.
And he was her idol. She went to visit him.
That is absolutely disgusting. How did you find out about this?
I was in her office. I had reason to be.
Well, that's very disconcerting.
And she told me.
Do you think she still has the love of Castro in her heart and communism?
I'm sure she does. There's no doubt in my mind.
That's very disturbing to hear.
But not surprising. Right?
But not surprising. Scott, we're running out of time. Running out of
time.
You. Anything else? Thanks for the call. God bless you. You've done
that's
the Lord's
it.
Work today. All right, so Olga Pedrosa loves Fidel Castro. Fidel Castro imprisoned thousands of people. He killed hundreds or thousands of people. They take any dissidents in Cuba and they stick them in plywood shacks that are about 3x5, and there's a hole cut in the floor so they can poop. And they give them one meal a day that's full of cockroaches. I know this because I know people that came over from Cuba. I lived in Miami. My best friends in Cuba. My best friends in Miami were Cubans, and I'm absolutely appalled to hear that Olga Pedrosa worships the ground that a communist dictator scumbag walks on. Shame on you, Olga Pedrosa.
Well, I'm going to throw it out right now on your show, Kelly. If Olga Pedrosa would like to move to Cuba,
we'll pay for it.
I'll pay for a plane ticket.
All right, Olga, let's start a drive to relocate to Olga to Cuba, wherever she wants.
If that's where she wants to go and spend her spend her days with Fidel. It's not surprising, though.
One more call here. We're running out of time, but this is Kelly. Who's this?
Patty.
Patty, 5 seconds.
Yeah. Let's take Bill McCamley and send him to North Korea.
With a whole shipment of dog meat. Thank you very much. All right, here is Jimmy Rogers. We'll be back after the break on the hour. Kelly O'Connor Show.
Nobody seems to want me or lend me a helping hand. I'm on my way from Frisco, going back to Dixieland. Though my pocketbook is empty, my heart is full of pain. I'm 1,000 miles away from home, waiting for a train.
It's Kelly here. Good morning to you. 7:06. 7:06, and got Jeff Isbell here, and also Bev Courtney from the Tea Party dropped in to kind of sit in here. And all right, so read you some of the news. There is a storm that they say is stretching from northern New Mexico all the way to New York. So bad weather out there. 2 inches away from Boston getting its record-setting amount of snow. And so do you still believe in global warming? I think that if you do believe in global warming, the amount of snow or the temperature has nothing to do with it. So as we mentioned earlier, Hillary, they want Hillary out. She's got too much baggage. She's got more baggage than a 747. And so we've got some other stuff. But anyway, we've got Jeff Isbell here, and we're going to find out what he thinks about that. You're going to break that. So, Jeff, anyway, you're running this recall effort, and the fact of the matter is that it's on the cusp. And as far as you know, you're a little biased because you're running the thing, but is it going to make it?
Well, Kelly, as I said earlier, we submitted thousands of signatures. The city clerk's office is going to have to thousands of signatures to deem our signatures invalid. Of course, we know that that's certainly possible. We never anticipated this to be easy. CAFE submitted, they needed 2,200 signatures. They submitted over 5,000 signatures and barely made it. A lot of people don't see that, but they barely made it. Only 40% of their signatures were valid, and they barely made it. So here we had to collect over 2,800 signatures in just half the city. So we had to collect more signatures than they had to collect, plus we only had half the city to deal with. So that's what we did for nearly 2 months straight. Every day we went out talking to people, telling them that we're out collecting signatures for a special election to recall their city councilors, giving them reasons to shut down, to sign the petition. And as we found out in the paper and Facebook posts and that sort of thing, they didn't like that we were out sharing reasons. They didn't like that people were finding out that the city government was making it difficult for nonprofit organizations to exist. They didn't like that we were going door to door with young people who were saying, "My friends and my family are moving away. We have to do something now before it's too late. Please sign this petition to recall your city council."
What specifically can you point to as a reason to recall these three? Why these three?
Well, these three are the most radically progressive city council members on the city council. We know that they're controlled by special interest groups. Nathan Small is employed by those special interest groups while serving on the city council. Gil Sorg serves in leadership positions of these radical environmental groups. Olga Pedroza works hand-in-hand with CAFE. So we've got the special interest group angle. We also have the fact that Gil Sorg and Olga Pedroza specifically have lied to their constituents. They went out during the minimum wage debate and collected signatures. So, Kelly, they would have come to your door, and I actually believe one of them did come to your door. Maybe it was Joanne Ferrari then. And
Joanne needs a tune-up Ferrari came to my house.
And said, we care about you so much, we want you to sign this petition. And then when it came time to sign the petition, when it came time to vote on the petition, these three people voted against the minimum wage increase, not once, not twice, but three times for Olga Pedroza and Gil Sorg, because it was never about the minimum wage. Conservatives, I know, they say, oh, yeah, they voted against the minimum wage. But it's important to realize that it was never about the minimum wage with them. It was a ploy to elect radical progressive Democrats like Olga Pedroza types, like Joanne Ferrari, Beth Bardwell, Marielena Johnson. It was all a ploy to get people out to vote. It wasn't about the people. They were playing political games with their position, using time on the city council that we pay for.
Mm-hmm.
Enough is enough, right?
Yeah, but, you know, as far as you know, what kind of an impact have these guys had on the economy in this town? Let's boil it down so that the average person can try to draw their own conclusions about whether they should leave or not.
Okay, so walk through the mall. You'll see businesses that have shut down. You've seen all over town places that have raised their prices, from pizza joint on Avenida de Mesilla to Pancake Alley, who shut their hours back. McAllister's is no longer giving free tea to our servicemen and women. Prices have gone up, which was expected. Business owners, I spoke with one who owns a small restaurant here in town just a few weeks ago. The prices are going to have to go up because the cost have went up. It's going to cost a small business owner nearly $30,000 extra just this next year. And that's without giving a raise to the people who have worked with him for so long. This is just the minimum wage increase. And now, Kelly, on the back of this minimum wage increase, they want to raise gross receipts taxes at the county level.
Give a little bit on that, because Ben Rawson came in yesterday and he talked about it. We had three votes. The voters said no. I look at the declaration, and it says the consent of the governed is necessary for the government to have standing. If the government is going against the will of the people, the government no longer has a standing, and you have the right to redo the government. That's directly from the declaration, which is the introduction of the Constitution.
That's right. So the county commissioners, you're right, after this, the voters rejected this tax increase, have said, we want to raise taxes. We need more of this or more of that. We're in debt. We need to do whatever we need to do. And so they want to raise taxes. And they're stating that they need to raise taxes because of the GRT sales tax rollback, which is on services as well, from the state government. So they're set to lose about $1.2 million, I believe it was, in state funding. But instead of cutting back and, you know, tightening their belt like we all have to do, they said, you know what, we're going to raise more taxes. So they're proposing a tax increase of up to $12 million a year, 0.3% of a tax increase to try to cover $1.2 million. So $12 million a year because they need $1 million.
And we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. Rob.
Rob, thank you so much for calling in, and what's on your mind?
Hey, so, you know, I don't know where you're at in the show. I lost you about 20 minutes ago when I came over the pass. I'm in El Paso. But I'm here with 375 in Montana. You would not believe all the construction going on down here. Economy. And then you go back to Cruces, and what do we got?
Yeah, we got a whole lot of nothing. We got more empty buildings that I've seen. I can't remember a town with more empty buildings than this.
Yep. It's a night and day difference between – it's like we're third world and this is first world down here. I'm just stunned.
It's absolutely sickening. Rob, do you know anything about the meeting that they're holding today?
Yeah, that's at 1 o'clock.
And what are they discussing?
I don't know. I haven't been to the site yet, but I know I heard it yesterday when you had
Ben Ross.
Ben Rawson on that. So I plan to go to that at 1 o'clock and see what's going on down there.
Folks, join Rob down there. It's at 1:30 in the commission chambers of the county building on Motel Boulevard. And there's going to be a consultation. Here's what I'm worried about. We've got enough problems trying to open businesses here. We don't need more green planning. We don't need more sustainable development. If there is no economy, sustainable development is a hoax.
No, traffic's moving. I better get off the phone and concentrate on driving.
Okay, Viva La Liberty, Rob. Thanks for the call.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
have a good morning.
Bye-bye. All right, folks, we're here with Jeffrey Isbell and Bev Courtney from the Tea Party. We're going to get a little bit of her reaction on the recall in just a minute as well. Here's Jimmy Rogers, the father of country music. Unfortunately, he died of consumption or tuberculosis at a pretty young age, but he became a superstar first and changed the history of American music. Here is Tea for Texas, which was later turned into a huge hit by Lynyrd Skynyrd. Oh, and we got one more call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Call Show. Who's this? All right. Who knows? Call back. We'll be right back, folks. It's 7:16. It's a little bit chilly out. It's around freezing. 523-1450 to call in, and it is the 5th of March.
Total song fight.
Yes, that's it.
All right.
Morning at 7:21 on KOBE, Kelly O'Connell Show. We got Jeff Isbell here. But got Bev Courtney, and I asked her to come in today because, you know, Jeff is running this thing as his part of his political interest. He's an advocate. Bev is part of the Tea Party. And what I wanted to know, Bev, is what's the feeling from the Tea Party from the right side of the aisle on the city council in this town?
Well, they are pleased with recall because they go against our values. You know, the Tea Party is the true grassroots. We don't get outside funds from anybody, and we're interested in the rule of law. We think that the U.S. Constitution has served America and the world well, and we don't think it can be improved upon.
Well, let's talk about city council. How does that intersect with the Constitution, or really what we're getting down to here is, What is it about the city council that the Tea Party or other conservative people would disagree with?
Well, capitalism. You know, most people are interested in the money market, the free enterprise.
Having a job, capitalism, all this stuff.
Yeah. You know, we believe that if you're working, that you want to have more ambition if you have a chance to better yourself. It's worked well for us. It's made more people wealthy than any other
but
systems.
What we're talking about is right here in this county. What is the city council done to go against the of capitalism?
Well, the minimum wage. Where did the government get the authority to dictate private wages at a business
wage? We have a minimum wage. What has the county commission done to upset the Tea Party on the minimum wage?
Well, the whole little scheme that they did, what did you call it, Jeffrey?
It was a political ploy.
The political ploy was obvious, and it made a lot of people mad on both sides.
Now, let's get more, because some people may not be able to follow this. What was the ploy?
Well, so it was never about the minimum wage. It was a ploy by radical progressives to increase voter turnout, which I'm okay with. If they would have just said that's what it was about, it was a ploy to increase voter turnout to get their people out to vote. So CAFE then had a reason to go knock on doors and say it's so important for you to vote to increase the minimum wage. By the way, these people, Beth Bardwell, Marilena Johnson, you know, Joanne Ferrari, are supportive of our efforts as well. So you should go vote for them as well.
And the whole political scheme and the dishonesty.
Who was dishonest? Who was dishonest?
Well, they were saying they wanted to watch out for the workers when what they really wanted was to get voters out. Because they know their voters would turn out that are not educated in what's happening in politics.
Well, most voters are not educated. They're distracted by trying to earn a living and making sure their kids stay out of trouble and paying their mortgage. And, you know, a lot of people don't have time to keep up with politics. That's just a fact.
Well, I think a problem with that, Kelly, is politicians don't want to allow people to keep up with politics, and that's why they have their city council meetings and county commission meetings at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and a workday instead of in the evening where people can get to them.
Folks, let's have our city council and our county commission. I think that's a wonderful point. 523-1450-724.
Personally, the reason I'm unhappy with them is they have these, not just the capitalism, but they have an anti-gun agenda. They have... they're pro-abortion. I am seriously against that because I think that's the highest tyranny.
Bev.
The first right is the right to life.
Bev.
And we've got an abortion clinic in town now.
Bev.
Yes.
It's a law of the land. What are you going to do?
It's still wrong. The first right is the right to life, and it makes a mockery of our law just like slavery did. All men are created equal. They either are or they aren't. And we need to support and protect the most helpless in our society. If our law isn't protecting life, it's useless for anything. It's tyranny.
I think that's a good point when it comes to the pro-life stance. It's interesting because CAFE's leadership is anything but pro-life. We have exposed their treasurer, Jan Thompson, who is now their former treasurer, who was organizing these pro-abortion celebrations, as she called them, with other members of the CAFE leadership speaking. And this group is funded by CAFE is funded by the Catholic Church to the tune of $45,000 a year. So when we exposed that, we know that there was a lot of angry folks out there. But I think we can do some local things in regards to this new abortion facility that's coming to town. You know, if the state legislature is not willing to take up the hard issues and say we're against late-term abortion and they don't pass a late-term abortion ban, and if they don't pass parental notification laws, which is absurd to me, why you can't go tanning or why you can't give a kid a Tylenol at school, but yet they can have an abortion without parental consent. Maybe we take these issues up on the local level through the initiative process. We can collect signatures to propose any ordinance, and if they're not going to make it difficult for abortion facilities to exist throughout New Mexico, maybe we make it difficult for abortion clinics to exist here in Las Cruces.
I think it's sad that the abortion clinic that was opened here was the same model, the same thing that was closed down in Texas because it did not measure up to their law.
Well, and how many people from El Paso and some of the neighboring communities are coming right over here to New Mexico, to Las Cruces, to get their abortions?
It's horrible. Of course they came from Texas because Texas didn't want that blood on their hands. And it's exploitation of women. Not women who grow up and make mature, reasonable decisions, but on young girls.
Young girls who get in trouble. Well, hey, you know, there's a lot of teen pregnancy in this town, you know.
We're among the highest in the nation.
Yeah, well, it is kind of depressing. But let's get back to this recall. I mean, Bev, when you
that's
hear...
That's why I dislike it.
Bev, hold on, please, for heaven's sakes.
Yes, sir.
Gird your loins here. Hold on a second. You hear that Olga Pedroza has a picture of Fidel Castro on her desk, like some people might have a Saint Matthew or Jesus or something. What or a member of their family? What's your reaction to that?
That's communism.
It is communism, but I understand the party that he's affiliated with, but how does that make you feel towards her?
Well, I don't approve of it because I love the United States Constitution. I believe it gives us more freedom, more prosperity than any other system in the world, and communism is failed. I heard you say it the other night, Kelly. It's failed because it's not based in reality.
Yes, that's true.
How can anything succeed that's not based in reality?
Well, that's a good question.
And I don't want to share my wealth. I give more money to more people when they need a helping hand, but I'm not going to enable them to just sit around, watch TV, and drink beer all day, which is what's happening with the whole so many people on welfare.
Huh.
It takes away their incentive to be productive.
All right, so folks, I'm starting to feel depressed. I need some music here. I've got a little more Jimmy Rogers, but this is Lynyrd Skynyrd's version of Tea for Texas. It's called Blue Yodel. 523-1450 to call in. What do you think about Olga Pedroza? She probably has a tattoo of Karl Marx on her derriere. I'm just guessing. But anyway, here's some Lynyrd Skynyrd, Blue Yodel by Jimmy Rogers, the father of country music.
Don't let that flag hit the ground. This is an old number written back in the 1920s by a man named Mr. Jimmy Rogers. It's called Give Me a Tea for Texas, a Tea for Tennessee.
It's Kelly here. I've got Bev Courtney and Jeff Isbell. We're talking about the recall. But first, a dedication to Bill McCamley, who wants to open a new – he has a new idea to grow the economy here. He's not anti-capitalism. He wants to export dogs to North Korea, where he was born. All right, folks, that's a little Claude Debussy and tons of crazy barking chihuahuas. But he did say, we don't have any real horses, feral horses where I live, but we do have packs of wild chihuahuas running around in the Las Cruces animal shelters, overcrowded. Why don't we just export the dogs to Korea to be slaughtered for food? Bev, as an animal lover, what do you think when you hear that?
I don't see how that could be reasonable. To export dogs overseas
to communist dictators. Maybe he's got a picture of Kim Jong-il on his desk. I don't know. But anyway, please keep Bill McCamley in your prayers.
Keep those dogs in your prayers.
Keep those gosh dang dogs that are going after his Achilles tendons in your prayers, that they might get lucky one of these days. Anyway, we're talking about the recall here. We're talking about the need to have a functional economy so that kids don't have to move out of town.
Yeah,
Jeff.
That's absolutely right. And we're seeing that from young people all over town. If you ask them what concerns them the most, and that's, you know, finding a job. But these city councilors are making it so difficult for anybody to come into Las Cruces and start a business, build a business, provide these jobs, that people just aren't doing it. We're losing out to El Paso. As soon as the minimum wage debate was decided, several companies, Luby's, Fuddruckers, other places said, you know what, we're going to go elsewhere.
I've heard that too. The business owners that I have met just said, we'll just go to another state. I don't have to be here.
And, you know, that's unfortunate because these guys have spent their lives here, these guys and ladies have spent their lives here building businesses to employ Las Cruces, and then we have a few members of a radical progressive agenda on the city council that say, meh, we don't care.
Well, here's the thing. We need to have laws here so that people can open up businesses, make it easier instead of going through this intern. Who is this intern again? Natasha or whatever, down at the city government that all of the business applications went through, and she would just, like, you know, pick out random things out of these applications and say, this needs to be fixed. She didn't have any training. She didn't know what she was talking about. And I got calls off the record by business people who said, please say something about this. This is causing months-long delays on our business applications. We can't open our businesses. And this girl has zero training for this. But if we say anything, then they'll come after us. They feared retaliation from the city councilors, from I thought it was one of the saddest and most bizarre stories I've heard since I've been here.
And
Jeff.
From what I hear, they have reason to fear that retaliation, because there's that mentality within our city government of you either like us or we're going to delay the process, we're going to shut you down, we're going to fine you, and then if you're operating your business without proper permits, we're going to fine you again and you risk going to jail.
Well, and I mean, why should an intern, let's just give her the benefit of the doubt. She might be the next Miss New Mexico. I have no idea what this girl looks like. Maybe she's just, you know, very attractive. And you know, these city people like to interact with her. But she shouldn't be fact-checking these business applications. It's absolutely absurd.
So, Kelly, what you're saying is that we have people in positions of authority in government who don't necessarily know what they're doing? And why is that surprising?
No, they are marching to the tune of a different drummer, the communist drummer, the socialist drummer. It's obvious. That's why people are rising up going, we love the system of government that our founding fathers handed to us, that's worked for America, made us great, the greatest nation, the most prosperous nation.
Got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Dan.
Ben, thanks for the call, and what's on your mind?
A couple things. I saw the debate with Olga Pedrosa and Beth Courtney when they ran against each other several years ago, and I don't know if most people don't pay attention, but Olga's entire platform was raising taxes, and then we wonder why we're in this position where businesses are being forced to close down or raise prices, cut services, cut hours. When Olga Pedrosa is only doing exactly what she said she'd do. She's going to run on a platform of raising taxes and being punitive against businesses. And at the same time, Gil Sork says, I'm an environmentalist, and now they want to do this green plan to shut down El Paseo or turn it into bike paths. We got a bad economy, and all we're talking about is global warming and bike paths. It's insane.
And it doesn't make a better world anyway. I've just got to tell you that. But what, when you hear that the county is spending $24 million over budget, and then they want to bring in $12 million more in taxes to replace somewhere between $100,000 and a couple million bucks, how does that make you feel?
Well, as a taxpayer, it makes me sick that they're just being so wasteful, and I think that's kind of the sentiment out here among the voters, is that we're tired of all these taxes. We're tired of just bureaucracy and just poorly managed money from our government, our city and our county.
Don't we deserve to have a county in which kids who graduate from college or high school can find a job?
Right. My kids are getting to that age and they don't want to come back. There's nothing here for them.
God, it's just depressing. And then Rob says he's down in El Paso and you wouldn't believe the construction. And you know what? I hate to say it, but we're more sophisticated in some ways than El Paso. We are, but we're not putting out an economy that people can that like you say encourages people to stay here.
I don't understand. Like, for example, City Councilman Gil Sork, who says, you know, here we are, we have the worst economy in 30 years. Home starts are down, the worst number starts in 18 years. And Gil Sork does a resolution at the city on global warming. I don't understand where these guys are coming from. It doesn't make any sense to me.
I'll answer that. They've tapped into something that is of a religious nature, leftism. A lot of these people in the farthest reaches of leftism have no religion other than politics, and it's Marxism. And so they fight tooth and nail. It's what they think about in the morning when they get up and at nighttime when they go to bed, it's all they know. But because it is of a religious nature in their mind, but it's the only truth that they're fighting for. It's insanity.
Yeah, it almost seems like you've got a national agenda being forced here locally, and it's just not a good fit. And people are starting to figure it out and say, wait a minute, this is not right. This is not Las Cruces. Who are these people?
Yeah, and it's true. And, you know, Gil Sor comes from out of state. You know, he comes here and he's, you know, that people retire to direct the city. I mean, what are we, living in Borneo?
Yeah. From Chicago, right?
Well, thank goodness for Kelly O'Connell's show and the conservative movement that's trying to fix things.
Well, thanks.
We appreciate you.
Thanks for the call. Have a good day.
Take care.
Okay, bye. We'll be right back. Give you a little weather here.
Here's your Las Cruces and Southern New Mexico forecast on AM 1450 KOBE. For today, you can expect mostly sunny skies with a high up around 47. By this evening, it's going to get mostly clear with a low down around 28. And for your Friday, sunny conditions with a high up around 56. And that's the buzz on weather, KOBE. Sponsored by the Outer Limits Car Wash, featuring unlimited monthly car washes starting at only $24.99. Wash as often as you'd like. It's a completely touchless car wash with free vacuums. The Outer Limits Car Wash. Like them on Facebook. Located at 2821 North Telshore next to Cold Stone Creamery.
The greatest egg hunt of the Great Southwest is back for its 20th year.
Springfest returns to Young Park April 4th.
Springfest offers tons of fun for everyone.
If you own a business that caters to families, or if you're trying to drive new customers to your business, you should be a part of Springfest. Your business will be in front of 15,000 people in a single day.
Call 575-527-1111 to get your business involved with Springfest.
Space is limited, so call as soon as you can. 527-1111.
You've seen the orange barrows and work zones and probably highway workers, too. They're out on the road every day mowing the medians, repairing potholes, and building new roads and bridges to make New Mexico's roadways safer for you and your family. We know this can be frustrating because life is busy and time is precious. But when you're driving dangerously through a highway work zone, you're risking the lives of highway workers, your own life, and the lives of your passengers. Slow down and stay alert. Paid for by the NMDOT and aired in cooperation with the NMBA and this station.
Hi, welcome to AT&T.
Hi, can you tell us more about rollover data?
Yeah, what do we have to do?
Not a thing. If you're a mobile share value customer, your unused plan data automatically rolls over for 1 month. It's our way of saying thanks.
That's so wonderful.
You know, let's hug.
Oh, that's okay. We don't have to.
I think we do.
Let's bring it in. Oh, wow. And we're hugging. All three of us. Really hugging.
Ooh, this smells like bacon.
Introducing AT&T Rollover Data. All mobile share value plans now come with rollover data on the network with the nation's strongest LTE signal. AT&T, mobilizing your world. AT&T reminds you to never text and drive. It can wait.
Available only with AT&T mobile share value plans. Rollover data automatically expires after 1 month or with any plan change. Other restrictions apply. Visit att.com/rollover data for details. Signal strength claim based only on average LTE signal strength to national carriers.
Next channel, that should be good. Tomorrow night, David Cousins.
It is Kelly here, and I've got Jeff Isbell and Bev Courtney here. And so, anyway, so let's we got a few more minutes left here. What do people need to know about this recall?
Well, we need support right now, more now than ever. So we anticipate one of two things from the city clerk's office to come down. She's either going to say that we've collected sufficient signatures, and we're going to have a special election. We're going to need volunteers. We're going to need help. We're going to need people to host coffees at their house. We're going to need them to go door to door, encouraging their friends, family members to go out and vote. So that's one of the two things that may happen. Or she's going to say, you know what, there's not sufficient signatures here, and you all can go out and collect more signatures. You have 15 days to do so, and that's exactly what we're going to do if we need to. And so we're going to need help collecting those signatures.
And let me ask you this, because I had mentioned this earlier. I didn't want to get it wrong. Somebody said that Peter Goodman had put out a rumor that the recall was over. Does anybody know if that's correct?
Well, I would assume that I would know if, you know, that was correct. Let me tell you something about Peter Goodman. There has been nothing but misinformation from the beginning. The day we filed our signatures, he came out and said, it was in the Sun News 2 days later, he came out and said, no, these guys missed their deadline. This will never work. They missed their deadline. But yet the city clerk is still validating. He came out last weekend and said the city clerk is going to say they failed miserably. But yet the city clerk is still validating. So where does Peter Goodman get his information from? But I think the bigger thing here is it doesn't matter what Peter Goodman says. Unless we hear from the city clerk's office, we're going to do what we know to do. We're going to get out and work. We're going to talk to people, as the thousands of people we've already talked to, whether it's in advance of a special election or going out and collecting more signatures. What we do, we go out and we talk to the people. We engage the people who are tired, who seek change, who are tired of these rumors. And I don't even want to give Peter Goodman any more time, because that's exactly what he wants through this process. He wants us to spend our time thinking about Peter Goodman, then spending our time thinking about how we can serve the people. That's what we're doing. We're serving the people. And who cares what Peter Goodman says?
Right. Okay. So, and the Tea Party, where does the Tea Party stand on this recall, just in general?
Well, I already said that we support the Constitution.
Okay.
The United States.
Okay, we got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the, we will note the Tea Party supports the Constitution. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is David. This is David.
Hey, David, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
And Peter Goodman did put something out in the Sunday column that he said, yes, the recall had been defeated because they weren't going to go after it. And, you know, the clerk had decided that it was bogus and everything. So he did put something in the Sunday column full of lies and innuendos and idiocy, because the guy is nothing but a sleazeball. He's a figment of his own imagination, and he thinks he's Barack Obama.
Huh. Well,
and that's what I'll say about Peter Goodman, because that guy, I don't know why the Sun News allows him to put his dribble in the paper every week. It's ridiculous that a news organization would let someone that low continue to spread spew, lies, and dribble in a weekly news, in a newspaper. It's ridiculous.
All right, Dave, anything else?
That's all I have to say today.
Thanks for the call.
Keep going strong, because I'm behind you 100%.
Thanks, David. I really appreciate the call. And Jeff?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. I think the larger problem I have here is not with Peter Goodman. It's not with what these radical progressives say. It's that the Sun News allows them to write these stories and then publishes these stories without fact-checking it. What happened to journalism? And to get back with Bev Courtney's thoughts, I don't care whether you're Tea Party, your Pea Party, what is that? Jim Harbison did a story on it, the Progressive Environmental
PGA,
Activist.
Progressive Voter.
Or whether
PA,
you're the Progressive
Voter
Alliance. If you're tired of the status quo in Las Cruces and you want better, you don't want your pets to be taxed at $50 a year.
What
city,
about your pets,
the city council?
Your pets being sent to North Korea to the gulag.
Or your pets sent to North Korea by Bill McCamley. if you're tired of the way things are and you want change, then get involved. Whether you're Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, it doesn't matter.
Hallelujah.
Hey, Kelly, you didn't mention those rules, those ballot rules.
Let's come back and talk about the ballot rules in just a second. Leonard Skinner doing a little more blue yodel. It's Jimmy Rogers updated. Kelly O'Connell, this is phenomenal live music to an ocean of live listeners out there at this concert before they got in their terrible plane wreck. Kelly O'Connell, 751 KOBE 523-1450 to call in. We will be right back.
Well, you don't want me, baby.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. This is Jake.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Kelly. I'm just listening to all the stuff that you guys are talking about. Can one of you guys or someone on the staff, somebody, put a flyer together of everything you're talking about, and I'd be willing to do some groundwork for you guys, and I can make copies and just something to present the person that, you know, I want to talk to.
Sure, no problem.
Just to put all the facts down, and then I can come pick it up from you later or something.
All right. Call me later, all right?
Okay, thank you, sir.
Enjoy my talent. Don't envy it.
I might just play Leonard Skinner on Texas. That is rock and roll.
All right. Will you? Don't take my show. It's Kelly here in just a few more minutes with our guests here. And I've got Jeff Isbell here representing the recall movement and Bev Courtney representing the Tea Party. And let's find a little convergence here. What do we all have in common? What are we looking for in this city? What do most people, anybody that you talk to, look for that we could kind of take out of these movements? What do we need?
Opportunity.
All right.
Whether that's jobs for folks, whether that's more business for business owners. Opportunity is key, at lower taxes. But I think another thing that people don't mention a lot of, that's we need more things to do. What do young families do in Las Cruces? What do teenagers do in Las Cruces?
For entertainment, for example.
Yeah, there needs to be more family things here to do in Las Cruces, whether it's go-karts or mini golf. Or
we don't have a lot here.
And there's no reason why we shouldn't. 120,000 people, and there's not a lot of opportunity for the people. These are things people enjoy. These are what keeps people here. Olga Pedroza would tell you that it's tennis courts, swimming pools, and parks. That's what brings tourists to Las Cruces. Well, Olga, you're wrong.
That's what brings families.
Tennis courts does not bring tourists to Las Cruces. But opportunity and lower taxes and jobs, that's what brings people to Las Cruces, and that's what keeps people in Las Cruces, and that's what we need to be thinking about now. How do we keep our young people here in Las Cruces?
That's a great point, and Bev, you're about freedom?
Yes. I mean, the government is here to serve the people, and instead we have a bureaucratic roadblocks every which way, but loose.
We got a call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly Connor Show. Who's this?
Hello, Kelly. This is Brad. I just want to say Las Cruces is going downhill. And, you know, if it wasn't for you and Keith Wetley, we wouldn't know anything that's going on. And now that's going away.
Well, Keith is gone. You can call in to the show. You can call in and let them know what your preference is for the you can let people know what you want to hear. They got mad at me when I first, understandably so, because I didn't tell anybody I was going to ask people to call in. But after they talked to people, they decided that it was good to know more about what people want. And so the number to call in, 527-1111. I want people to know that Mike McKay, who runs this place, KC Counts, these are wonderful people. They're fine people. They're the same in public as they are in private. They're not hypocrites. They don't lie to people. But it's a business, and you understand that. But I appreciate the call, Brad. Anything else?
I don't know of any other towns. I travel a lot. But the thing I like about Las Cruces, and the 1450 is always on. because I can find out things that are going on around here that I wouldn't find out otherwise.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate it. We're out of time. Brad, can you call back tomorrow?
Yeah, you bet you can.
Thanks a lot. 527-1111. Just tell them what you think. It could be about this station. It could be about another one. If you want to express your enthusiasm about this show, please do. Thanks for coming in, Jeff.
Hey, thanks so much. I just want to promote our website real quick, lcrecall.com. It's a completely new design. That's where you can sign up on our mailing list. You can sign up to volunteer. You can give us $10, $50, $100, $1,000, whatever you want to do, lcrecall.com. And, Kelly, we're just so thankful for this avenue to get our message out. Thankful for the work you're doing. And I think people should call and keep you on the air.
Thank you very much, Bev.
Hello.
We're out of time, so what's your
My contact info? Go to the Tea Party website. Our meeting is the third Thursday of each month, 6:30 at Mountain View Christian Church. And it's nonpartisan.
We'll take you out with some Elton John, folks. Have a great day. Kelly, ciao. Live piano.
The day as the temperature drops ever so much, the snow is expected to pile up. 4 to 7 inches are expected here in Washington, D.C.
In some parts of the South, temperatures have dropped almost 50 degrees over 24 hours. The Ringling Brothers, Barnum & Bailey Circus, is doing away with elephant acts. Live CBS News correspondent Peter King.
Ringling Brothers says this was not about pressure from animal rights groups.
We've been listening to our customers, looking at the legislative landscape around the country.
Feld Energy.